Support for Faith Matters comes from the law offices of Mullen, Hoard, and Brown, LLP, offering a full range of legal services to regional and national clients. Mullen, Hoard, and Brown are members of ALFA International. More information is available at 765-7491 or mullenhoard.com.
Welcome to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center, home of the Joint Ranch. Covenant provides a place where hip and knee patients come together for pre-surgery educational classes and then reconvene post-surgery for group therapy and rehabilitation. Now here's the host of Faith Matters, Tom McGovern.
Welcome to Faith Matters. I'm your host, Tom McGovern, and it's my joy this Sunday afternoon to bring you some of the fun and the joy of Scotland. We are preparing for a very special event, Robert Burns dinner, supper, night, celebration, whatever way the Scots might describe it, to introduce us to the Bard of Scotland, Robert Robbie Burns. It's my pleasure to have my friend and my colleague from the health sciences, Dr. Brian Sutton, with us to begin this conversation. Brian, how long have you been in Lubbock?
Been here about 7 years now.
You're born where in?
I'm from North Carolina originally.
Here you are in West Texas playing pipes with a great love and devotion to Robert Burns, the wonderful Scottish poet, singer, writer, and many other things. What attracted you to Robert Burns, to Bobby Burns?
There's a lot of things that are fascinating about Robert Burns. The biggest thing that I appreciate about him, he's very different from most other poets that I think most people are familiar with. Robert Burns was born a very poor farmer in Ayrshire, Scotland. But even though his family was born a very poor farmer, his father insisted that his kids were educated. He never really was sent to university or high school or anything, but his father insisted that they were well-read anyway. He was born in 1759.
What's the magic of him that has captured the imagination of so many places and so many people?
Certainly the thing that gripped the Scottish culture at the time was that he wrote in Scottish dialect more than anything. At the time, they never heard of anybody really writing in Scottish dialect before. I think the fact that he could write in language that they understood really was amazing to most Scots at the time. From the time when he was a teenager, he was very radical. He was radical politically and socially.
And his private life too.
Very much so. Yeah, notorious for that, as a matter of fact.
What did he espouse politically that was attractive to the Scots at the time and subsequently? French Revolution, of course.
That was kind of an awkward time for him. At the time, Burns did work for the British government as an excise officer, which was odd because as a political radical in his kind of private life, he did work for the government. He had to kind of keep his tongue quiet, which was difficult to him as he went to the pubs and kind of had fun. And at times he let his tongue slip occasionally. People in the various cities he lived in overheard his tongue slips, and it got him in trouble several times with his employers. And he had to use his talents as a writer to try to get himself out of these problems. That happened on several occasions, actually.
What are the themes that run through his poetry that have captured the imagination of so many peoples, so many nations, so many countries down through the centuries?
I think one of the biggest themes is women. Robert Burns did appreciate women a lot.
What kind of images come to mind for you when you think of his love poetry?
He certainly was a very keen observer of nature. The poem To a Mouse certainly comes to mind.
What does that capture for you, To the Mouse?
In that particular poem, in To a Mouse, apparently he was plowing one day. His plow upset a mouse nest. It spawned this beautiful poem that he wrote, To a Mouse. In that poem, he pretty much equated man's life with the life of a mere mouse. That was something that most people never thought of before, really. He thought that was a beautiful thing, I think. I guess the other things that Burns really appreciated was the beauty of Scotland. That came across in his poems quite a bit.
And of course, there's Auld Lang Syne, which most of our listeners would know.
Auld Lang Syne is probably one of the most popular things that Burns did. And it really is remarkable that that song of nostalgia and renewal is being sung somewhere around the world almost constantly for the last 300 years.
Tell us a little about your own. You have some Scot in you, do you, Brian?
Not a bit.
Not a bit?
None.
No. So what attracted you to Scotland, to the pipes, to this way of life, to this heritage?
I went to North Carolina State University in Raleigh, North Carolina. They have a pipe band. They had band practice on the green at NC State, and I used to listen to them play, just go out and listen to them during lunch, and they would play. They offered lessons for free. They would give us free practice chanters and free bagpipes, free kilt, everything. All we had to do was show up and play and learn, and that's all they demanded of us.
So you became an instant Scot, huh?
Yep, it was free, so.
Of course.
I've just been learning ever since.
They say about the Scot, and I have a lot of Scot in me in addition to Irish, they say about the Scotch-Irish that they kept the Sabbath and anything else they could lay their hands on.
So, that's true.
So you came by your avocation as a piper in a very honest way, by generosity of the Scottish community where you went to school.
That's very true.
What does the Burns Supper mean to you?
Several years after Robert Burns died, they wanted to really keep alive kind of the mystery of Robert Burns, what really Robert Burns' life on earth meant to the Scots and what he really stood for. And they wanted to keep that flame alive forever. And that started in Scotland about 10 years after he died. So that's been going on in Scotland and around the world, actually.
So Lubbock joins in with the world on Burns Night, and we'll have our own special celebration.
That's here. Right. It goes on in Dallas, New York, in Tokyo, in Hong Kong, in Lubbock, in Russia. It goes on everywhere around the world. We're just another city that participates in that celebration.
Brian, thank you so much for this introduction to Rabbi Robert Burns, and thank you so much for joining us this Sunday afternoon.
Thank you.
Our distinguished piper for Faith Matters this Sunday afternoon is Dr. Patrick McLaren. I'm sure our listeners would be interested in how hard is it to play the pipes, Patrick?
It's fairly difficult. Because it's so difficult, you first learn on an instrument that looks like a recorder, and then once you get there, you can graduate to the big pipes, and it's something you have to practice to be able to practice.
Patrick, introduce us to the pipes that you will be playing this afternoon.
The bagpipes that most people associate with Scotland are the Great Highland bagpipes, the ones the British military uses to march around, and so they're very loud and can be heard from quite a distance off. I'm going to be playing a Scottish small pipes, which are more appropriate for playing indoors.
And you'll be introducing us to Auld Lang Syne,
yes.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center. More information on customized plans for joint replacement surgery is at covenanthealth.org/ortho.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. This Sunday afternoon, it's our delight to be reminiscing about the great Scottish poet, Rabbi Robert Burns. Our guest for this segment of the program is Edson Way. You can't see him on the radio, but he's dressed in kilts. Edson, delighted to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Tom. Thank you for the invitation.
Tell our listeners who you are, first of all, where you're from and how you came upon this.
My mother was British of Welsh and Scottish ancestry. My dad was American. And it's a long, convoluted story how they met during the Second World War. And so I was born in Chicago and grew up in the Chicago suburbs mainly. But I had the good sense to marry a girl who grew up here in Lubbock, Texas, after two careers, one as an anthropology professor and then as a museum director. I went to seminary in Austin, Texas, and became an Episcopal priest and served as a pastor at St. Christopher's Episcopal Church here in Lubbock.
And very beloved as such, may I say, by the Lubbock community as a whole. What attracted you to Rabbi Burns?
Growing up, my British grandmother, who was Scottish, used to read me some of Burns's poems. And as a child, I liked the cadence of it. And in my maturity, I especially like reading Burns aloud, because I think when you read any poet, but mostly Burns in my own experience, when you read the poetry aloud, somehow I seem to feel the breath of the poet at the end of the line. And there's that intimate connection to the person who wrote it, as well as the emotion that it calls for.
Share with our listeners to begin with Bobby Burns.
Yeah, this poem is called an Epistle to Davy, a brother poet, and he wrote it to another farmer poet, a man of little education, but who was of great learning, who loved the sound of the language in the Scottish dialect. I like this poem because it addresses not only his appreciation of nature and his ability to evoke the natural setting, but also it shows something of his concern with social justice. This is the Epistle to Davy, written in January 1785, and I'll attempt the accent. While winds frae off Ben Lomond blow, and bar the doors with driving snow, and hang us o'er the ingle, I set me down to pass the time and spin a verse or twa a rhyme in hamely westland jingle. While frosty winds blow in the drift, bend to the chimley lug, I grudge a wee the great folk's gift that lives sae bien and snug. I tentless and wantless their roomy fireside, but hanker and canker to see their cursed pride. And to translate that into Lubbockite English, it basically says, while the winds off of Ben Lomond, the huge mountain on Loch Lomond, blow, bar the doors with driving snow, drive us over to hang over the fireplace, I sit myself down to pass the time and write a little rhyme in homely West Scottish dialect, while frosty winds blow in the snowdrift from the mountain to our chimney top. I have a bit of a grudge against the aristocrat's gift who lives so snugly and well. I want less, I have enough, and I don't envy their roomy fireside, but I ponder and I get irritated to see their pride. And so it both combines this very wintry scene with his contemplation sitting at his humble fireside about how the great folks are living through this same snowstorm. One of the great Scottish blessings is lang meyer lang reek, which means literally long meyer chimney smoke, but the intent is may you have fuel for your fireside and food to cook on it. So it's a very humble kind of a culture.
What else attracts you to Burns?
One of the things that attracts me to Robert Burns is the fact that his wife's name was Jean, and that takes a little bit of explanation. Burns fathered 12 children by four women. His first four children, two sets of twins with his wife Jean, were born actually before they were married. I used to wonder as a young man how he got away with that, and the answer is he did not. He was regularly called into church and made to sit on the penance pew with the lady of the time and be lectured about fornication by the minister in front of the entire congregation. He sort of reveled in that reputation. My friend Brian said that he was kind of a rock star in his day. He didn't take it too seriously when he was reprimanded. But he loved his wife, Jean. I think because my wife's given name is Jean, I resonate to that myself. Here's a poem called I Love My Jean. Of all the airts the wind can blow, I dearly like the west. For there my bonny lassie lives, the lassie I love best. There wild woods grow and rivers row, and many a hill between. But day and night my fancy's flight is ever with my Jean.
Let's put it in the vernacular, if you will.
Of all the directions the wind can blow, my favorite is the west, for that's where my bonnie lassie, my girlfriend, lives, the lassie, the girl I love the best. And in the west, there are wild woods growing and rivers flowing, and many a hill between us. But day and night, my imagination's flight is always with my Jean. And then he goes on in the second verse. I see her in the dewy flowers. I see her sweet and fair. I hear her in the tuneful birds. I hear her charm the air. There's not a bonny flower that springs by fountain, shaw, or green. That's not a bonny bird that sings, but minds me of my Jean. He was in the Romantic School of Literature, was one of the leaders of that movement. And it's interesting because not only is he a Romantic poet, but many of his poems do have that social consciousness, which made him the favorite poet of our own President Abraham Lincoln a generation later. Lincoln wrote a tribute to Robert Burns for Burns Night back in the 1860s.
Bob Dylan considers My Love is Like a Red, Red Rose. He considers that as the most influential of the songs that was part of his formation.
And one of the things that we're very fortunate in the Burns Night here on the 27th of January here in Lubbock is that the Special Collections Library at Texas Tech actually has a first edition print of Burns's first published book of poetry, which will be on display at the Robert Burns dinner. And I've brought two of my own volumes with me. One is an 1801 publication printed in Northern England, actually, in the year 1801, about 5 years after Burns' death. And then I also have been able, lucky to find, an 1823 publication of Burns's collected works published in Philadelphia here in the States. And I believe that that's the edition that Abraham Lincoln had in his personal collection.
How lovely, what a connection with history, and also what a beautiful connection with Robert Burns. Steinbeck, Burns' influence is seen in Mice and Men, and then, of course, J.D. Salinger's Catcher in the Rye.
After the poem Coming Through the Rye.
What resonates for you in Coming Through the Rye?
I think the sense of boisterous freedom, perhaps. There's a sort of a joy in just living. I think that's so typical of Burns. He lived life to the max and died by age 37.
So life and death are beautifully embraced in Robert Burns, I think.
Exactly, and he and Jean saw much sorrow. Of his 12 children, only 3 survived to adulthood.
Well, listen, Edson, we'll take a short break from this wonderful conversation, and stay with us. We'll be back shortly.
Listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center. More information on customized plans for joint replacement surgery is at covenanthealth.org/ortho. The views, opinions, and comments that are expressed on this program are solely those of the host and guest and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions of KTTZ-FM, Texas Tech Public Media, Texas Tech University, Texas Tech University System, or our faculty and staff, our affiliates, our partners, and our sponsors.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters this Sunday afternoon. It's our delight to be reminiscing about the great Scottish poet, Rabbi Robert Burns. And our guest for this segment of the program is Edson Way. We talked about the poem that Brian Sutton referenced at the beginning of the show, To a Mouse, the love of nature and of small wee things that's enshrined in that poem. Share a little of To a Mouse, will you, please?
The full title is To a Mouse, On Turning Her Up in Her Nest with the Plow, November 1785. We sleekit cowrin, timorous beastie, oh, what a panic's in thy breastie. Thou needna start away and say hasty, wi' bickering brattle. I wad be laith to rin and chase thee wid murder and prattle. I'm truly sorry man's dominion has broken nature's social union and justifies that ill opinion which makes thee startle. Ah me, thy poor earth-born companion, an fellow mortal.
Again, in the vernacular?
In the vernacular. Small, sleek, little timid, mousy beast. And what is a panic in your breast? You don't need to start away in such speed and haste with quarrelsome chatter coming from the plow tip in the earth. I would be unfortunate to ruin and run off and chase you with the killing plow staff, is the first verse. And then he says, I'm truly sorry that humankind's dominion has broken nature's social union and justifies the ill opinion which makes you start to run away from me as a human.
It's the breaking of the bond between humans and nature.
And the final line of that second thing is, to me, you poor earthborn companion, you mouse companion, and fellow mortal. So he recognizes that bond between all living nature and humankind, which so often we break with our fellow creatures.
And for our listeners who might be interested, just introduce him, if you will, to that great poem, Thomas Chanter.
Thomas Chanter is one of his most famous poems, I think. It's also his longest narrative poem. It's an evocation of Scottish life in the 18th century and the history behind Scottish culture. I think that Tam O'Shanter was the one that really established his reputation amongst his fellow Scots, because it extols the Scottish virtues and the difficult history between the Scots in the north and the English in the south.
Just for the sake of reference for the listeners, in the north of Scotland was the traditional Celtic, Gaelic way, with the language still spoken there.
Even on the islands in the far north of Scotland, the Outer Hebrides and the Inner Hebrides Islands, the local population still, many of them still do speak Scots Gaelic.
Gaelic, as they call it.
Yeah, Gaelic, as they call it, and Gaelic in Ireland. And then Scots, which is considered a Germanic language closely related to English. But in Scots, there's a lot of vocabulary that doesn't appear in English proper. It's probably of Norse derivatives because of the Viking invasions coming down starting in the 800s and so forth.
I marvel that you walked across Scotland from one sea to the other. It wasn't a walk, it was a pilgrimage.
Well, it really was a pilgrimage, yeah. It was on my bucket list for about 7 years. And finally, for my 70th birthday, I gave myself a birthday gift of a walk across coast to coast across Scotland. And there is a marked walkway called the John Muir Way, named after the Scottish-born naturalist John Muir. He's most famous perhaps for Yosemite National Park in California and the Muir Woods and the establishment of the National Park Service with Teddy Roosevelt. This walkway begins in the village of Helensburgh, which is a small fishing village on the west North Atlantic coast of Scotland, and then it proceeds in a due easterly fashion right across the southern highlands to John Muir's birthplace along the Caledonian Canal and the Union Canal and the Forth Canal. It's a lovely walk.
Now tell us about the early morning encounter you had.
I was coming into a village of Tuachar, an old man who I realized recently was probably 5 years younger than me, but the old man was standing on the riverbank feeding the ducks on the canal, and I walked up in my kilt, and he looked over his shoulder at me and says, "Where are you from?" And I said, "Well, I'm wearing this kilt, so you'll know I'm from Texas."
Yeah.
And he said, "Aye, American." And I said, "Yes." And he says, "There was two Americans by here yesterday. Girls they were." And I said, "So two American girls came by yesterday?" He said, "Aye." And the one says they were lost. And so I says to them, I give them explicit directions how to get where they're going. And the one says to a friend, "I cannot understand a thing that he's saying." With some pride in my voice, I suppose, said, "Well, I can understand everything you're saying." And he looks at me pointedly and says, "That's because I'm slowing it down to give you a break."
Yes, I'm slowing it down to give you a break. Yeah.
Exactly. So then he asked me, "Would you like a wee dram?" I said, "That's very hospitable, thank you." So he poured it into a plastic cup. He says, "It's the only glass I've got." And I said, "Well, that's fine. It's got scotch in it, I suppose, and that's an antiseptic." He said, "Tell me what you think." And so I took a sip and I said, "I think it's got drambuie in it." And he says, "Aye, it's called a rusty nail," which is a cocktail of scotch and drambuie. And it's a great way to start the day.
So instead of walking on a rusty nail, you drank a rusty nail.
I drank a rusty nail, indeed.
Tell us about the evening that's coming up.
On January 27th, which is the Saturday evening right behind Burns's actual birthday on the 25th, we're having a dinner at the International Cultural Center on the Texas Tech campus, which is just east of the University Medical Center, if people can use that as a reference. The dinner begins at 6 o'clock. There will be a scotch tasting for those who want to try it. There will be a dinner including prime rib and then traditional Scottish haggis and neeps and tatties, which is basically boiled and mashed turnips and mashed potatoes. We've got two bands coming in to entertain. Ed Miller, who is a Scottish folklorist who lives here in Texas now, and he sings Burns songs and tells stories in his...
Will he sing My Love is Like a Red, Red Rose?
Exactly. And then the other one will be E.J. Jones and his band. And E.J. is a Texas-born piper, travels constantly across the country with his bagpipe band. They've performed together quite a bit. The tickets are available at Select a Seat, or you can also easily buy tickets at United Supermarkets or Market Street or at the Civic Center here in town.
Well, listen, Edson and Brian and our piper, Dr. Patrick McLaren, it's been wonderful having you with us this Sunday afternoon to remember Robert Robbie Burns, and in a very special way to be introduced to the wonder of his life, of his poetry, and of his music. Thank you so much, and it's been a joy to have all of you here this afternoon, and I'm sure on behalf of our listeners to thank you for bringing the wonder of Scotland to West Texas this evening.
Thank you so much, Tom. Thank you.
You've been listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with your host, Tom McGovern. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center, home of a full range of orthopedic services, including Joint Ranch. Join us next Sunday for another edition of Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1, a service of Texas Tech Public Media.